liaison between the entertainment industry and the Department of Homeland Security. Oh, my God. You're kidding me. Now, the last time anything like this happened that I'm aware of was when Ronald Reagan was a member of the Screen Actors Guild. This is back in the early 50s, I believe. And he was approached by J. Edgar Hoover, America's top cop and famous crossdresser. And Ronald Reagan agreed to be a spy against his union members because J. Edgar Hoover and his significant other, what was his name, Clyde Tolson, and J. Edgar were concerned about communists infiltrating the Hollywood movie colony. So Ronald Reagan agreed to be a spy against his fellow union members. Of course, they never turned up any communists, but it helped Reagan establish himself as a God-fearing American. So now Tom Ridge is opening up an office of Homeland Security in Hollywood. The other day he addressed a group of television executives in Beverly Hills. He suggested that Hollywood must remain vigilant in light of terrorist threats, even though there's been no evidence suggesting that terrorists are targeting the entertainment industry. Jesus Christ. I just, where do we live? What pit have we fallen into? Where are we, huh? Now it's Hollywood. Ridge said that within 2 months he'll put two people from the Department of Homeland Security. He says, we have 180,000 people work for us. We're going to take two of them and put them at the Coast Guard Public Affairs Office out here in L.A., and they are going to be your liaison with the Hollywood community. So we expect you people to report in. God, I don't know what to say. I just sometimes wonder where in the hell we live. Okay, 800 talk yes is the number. When we come back, I think we're going to talk a little bit or let Carl Levin and Senator Kennedy and David Kaye talk. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your your risk-free trial of UltraLipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, 24 past the hour. Well, I understand we were not net streaming. A lot of people, oh my God, we got about 30 emails here. Did IE America pull the plug? No, that's not. We're not going off the air, as far as I know, until February 27th. So apparently what it was a net streaming problem. For those of you who are listening on the internet, let me just recap what we talked about. God, Morgan Spurlock, a guy who has put together a movie called Supersize Me that explores obesity in America, sort of bowling for Columbine for fast food. This guy put together a movie, took it to the Sundance Film Festival, and what he did about a year ago, a year and a half ago, he decided to, this healthy guy, let me see here, what does it say? He was 6'2", he's from New York, 185 pounds. So he decided to eat three meals a day for 30 days at McDonald's and document the impact on his health. Immediately he packed on 25 pounds. But gaining weight apparently was the least of his problems. He says within a few days of starting this, this guy's 33, he was vomiting out the window of his car. Doctors who worked with him through all this were, you know, examining him, were shocked at how rapidly his entire body deteriorated. His liver became toxic. His cholesterol shot up from 165 to 230. His libido flagged. He suffered headaches and depression. So he put together this film, documentary, took it to the Sundance Film Festival. He hopes somebody will pick it up for distribution. In the film, he also travels to 20 cities across America, interviewing people on the street and health experts and a lobbyist for the fast food industry. While he just goes down the pipes. Now, over the course of the film, he's examined regularly by a gastroenterologist, a cardiologist, and a New York City-based general practitioner. The general practitioner said he was an extremely healthy person who got very sick eating this McDonald's diet. None of us imagined he could deteriorate this badly. He looked terrible. The liver test was the most shocking thing. His liver became very, very abnormal. Now, the guy has, since he stopped this, he returned to normal health. His general practitioner said the treatment for this was to just stop eating the McDonald's slop. Now, this guy says he occasionally ate at McDonald's before he began his total immersion into the menu. But not anymore. He said, I got desperately ill. My face was splotchy. I had this huge gut, which I've never had in my life. My knees started to hurt from the extra weight coming on so quickly. It was amazing and really frightening. His girlfriend was horrified. Spurlock says she was completely disgusted by me, not happy at all, but she realized what my goals were in trying to educate people. And the way he got decided to make this, he was watching television on Thanksgiving Day, 2002. He says, I was feeling like a typical American on Thanksgiving, very bloated, laying on the couch. At some point on the news, they were talking about two women who were suing McDonald's, and people from the fast food industry were saying, you can't link kids being fat to our food. Our food is nutritious. So I thought to myself, how nutritious is it really? Let's find out. Well, not surprisingly, he is not eating fast food since he finished the film. He says, I've not had McDonald's for 7 months, but yesterday during an interview, I had a bite of a Big Mac. I chewed it up, swallowed it, and I said, you know what? I'm pretty much done after that bite. Yeah. Well, that's not a shock. That's not a shocker, is it? Huh? Can you imagine eating that crap? The other thing, while we were not streaming, an aide to Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist has been put on leave. You know, the investigation, one of many, into how Republicans got access to Democratic memos concerning opposition to Bush's judicial nominees. Well, this guy apparently, during the investigation, they're finding some stuff out here. So, and like I said, I don't know if you heard it, but since he is an aide to Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, Republican, when they find out, if they find out that this guy is the thief, he'll probably get promoted, right? Or, I don't know, he'll go to prayer meeting and say, you found Jesus, so it's okay. Osteoporosis, glaucoma, and neurosis. The Moses of Carmina, bum-bum-bum-y-head. Second verse, the same as the first. I forgot the words again. Dementia and senility, my failing muscles atrophy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The Arctic might be going back in time, more than 100,000 years back. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. To see what lies ahead for the Arctic environment, one need only look back. Way back, according to Jonathan Overpeck. He directs the Institute for the Study of Planet Earth at the University of Arizona.
The only time it was really warmer than present, and we have a lot of information to tell us about that world, was about 130,000 years ago.
Overpeck says global climate change is warming the Arctic at a rate that will turn back the clock the rest of the way sometime during this century.
What's interesting about that time, 130,000 years ago, is that the Greenland ice sheet was much smaller than it is today. And all that water that's now frozen on Greenland ended up in the ocean. And what does that mean? A rise of sea level somewhere between 3 and 6 meters.
Overpeck says the Arctic might be going into a different state. He says summers in the Arctic could be without sea ice, permafrost, or glaciers. And he's calling for action to curb emissions of carbon dioxide and other gases that are thought to be warming the planet.
The signs are that unless something is done, the Arctic will indeed move towards another state, one where it'll be significantly less frozen in summer. And the impacts of this would not be felt just in the Arctic, where obviously impacts would be huge on Arctic cultures and people and ecosystems, but there would also be effects globally.
Overpeck says rising sea levels will affect everyone, and he says the melting permafrost will release even more carbon into the atmosphere. But he says we can't yet predict other global impacts of the melting Arctic ice. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, before we go to the sound of Kennedy and Levin and David Kay today, Rhea is calling from New Orleans. Rhea called in last night. We had her on hold for like 2 hours, I think, and then had to bail. Hey, Rhea.
Hi. I'm 17. I'm a new listener. And I wanted to talk about something that was aggravating me with Bush about the Patriot Act.
Okay, let her rip.
Okay, I read some of the Patriot Act today, and I found it completely unpatriotic, in my opinion, because it's stripping away everything that this country stands for, and Bush is a moron.
Yeah, that's very true. Are you telling your friends, other kids, about what you discovered, Rhea?
Yeah, I told my brothers and stuff like that because they're younger than me and they don't really know any of this. And I think Bush is a complete and utter moron for everything he's doing to this country. And a few years ago, I read 1984 by George Orwell, and he's starting to act just like and treat this country just like Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it sickens me completely.
What prompted you to read the USA Patriot Act or parts of it? What made you do that?
Well, because my mom, she kind of told me something about it, and I wanted to check it out for myself. And she's a dedicated listener to your show.
Well, bless her heart. So you did some research on your own, I take it.
Yeah, I read everything. I like to look up stuff on what our country's going through, and I don't like what it's going through. It bothers me. It sickens me.
When do you turn 18, Rhea? Because you can vote then.
I don't turn 18 until after election. I turn 18 December 3rd.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. What concerns you the most? If there is something that you read that concerns you the most, if not, I certainly understand all of it concerns me. But is there one thing that concerns you the most?
Well, the invasion of our privacy, for one.
There you go. Yeah, that's pretty grim.
I don't agree with any of it. I should be able to talk on the phone to who I want or read my emails and not have someone have it tapped or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's unfair.
What are the kids? What are you, a sophomore, junior in high school?
I'm going to be going to Job Corps.
Oh, okay. The people that you hang out with, what do they think about the USA Patriot Act?
Well, most of the people I talk to, they do not like the Patriot Act. They think it's stupid, and that it's completely stripping away our civil liberties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So other kids that you know are as concerned about this as you are?
Yeah.
Well, it may wind up resting on the shoulders of your generation to do something about it. What are you going to do in Job Corps? Do they help you continue your education?
Uh-huh. And I plan to get my GED while I'm in Job Corps, and when I get out, I want to join the military.
Now, why do you want to join the military?
Because it's been my dream for the past 2 years. I think since I was 15, I've wanted to be in the military.
What do you want to do there, Rhea?
I want to be in the Air Force, and I want to do the medical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be in study medical.
Oh, okay. So maybe when you finish your hitch in the military, you would be a nurse or a physician assistant or something like that?
Yeah.
What about are your parents concerned about you going into the military with Bush as president?
They agree with it. They think it's a great idea, and they've been supporting me ever since I came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm. What happens, though, if you join the military and you do your basic and do your special training and then you get sent to Afghanistan? Or I understand now the Bush administration, the Bush regime, is planning on invading Pakistan, I believe this spring is what I most recently read here on the Internet. What happens if you are sent to participate in a preemptive war against people that have done nothing to us?
What happens if I have to participate in a war?
Yeah.
I guess I'll just have to fight for my country.
Would you be fighting for your country, though, let me back up a little bit. Do you think that the soldiers right now who are in Iraq are fighting for this country?
No. Not at all.
Okay, supposing...
You're fighting for something Bush won.
Okay, supposing you were in that position, what would you do? If you're in the military and you're sent to Iraq...
I would be surely angry with Bush or anyone who sent me just to do what for
right.
their pride or their ego or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you didn't call the program looking for advice, Rhea, but gosh, think this through. There is nothing bad about joining the military. As a matter of fact, until George W. Bush illegally seized power in this country, the military was an honorable place to be. And I think a lot of people who are in the military are there for honorable reasons. But my point is, Bush is misusing it. What about the Peace Corps? They're a fantastic organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll help you obtain your medical training, I think. Not like the military where they pay for it or train you. But maybe they do. Kathy is saying, yes, you can get medical training in the Peace Corps. Don't you think maybe it would be better to join a peace organization rather than a destruction organization? After all, you want to be in the healing art of helping people. It just seems kind of strange to go into the military, especially the Air Force, where bombs and missiles and napalm and burning bodies and guts spilled out on the street and dead children and old people being incinerated. So that George Bush and his cronies can have oil, and then they expect
ignorant of him, and he's like I said, he's just a moron, and I can't wait till he's out of office because he's just ruining our country. So
right, well, think real long and hard, and I know you will, Rhea, before you join Bush's military. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You take care. No. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
It's honorable that she wants to join the military. It's just an unfortunate time.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make. I don't know if I made it or not. George Bush and Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these people have so totally corrupted and bastardized and misused the military. It's, oh, well. You know, David Kay has been letting the cat out of the bag, so to speak, although I notice Kay is starting to dance around some of his comments now. But he testified in Congress today in the Senate before the Senate Armed Services Committee on his inability to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. What is interesting about this is this kind of nonplussed collective look, so to speak, on the faces of most media and their horrors. Now, obviously, ABC doesn't have a face, but you understand what I'm saying. It's starting to leak out. Editorial columns in newspapers, political pundits, television anchor people, so on and so on and so on. They're acting sort of like they're puzzled over how the intelligence could have been so wrong about all this. But it just confirms for me when I don't care who it is, even some of the people that I thought, you know, I kind of liked in media, like Terry Moran or John Roberts, or who are some of the other ones, Kathy? I'm leaving out the really good ones like Russell Mokyber and Helen Thomas. But you know, just some of the White House press corps, some of the pundits. I'm also leaving out people like Paul Krugman, because a lot of these folks have been warning from the beginning that there was no there. But the standard corporate media in this country that is just acting so, I don't know, they're not acting shocked, but they're just like bumping into things and kind of looking around saying, gee, how did this happen? Well, the truth is, this criminal administration and the media both decided to ignore, for different reasons, the media because they're comprised of nothing more than horrors now, and the Bush regime because they're nothing more than criminals, and it's a great agreement between the whores and the criminals. But they both ignored the main message of Iraq's most important defector, who went back to Iraq after he spilled his guts and Saddam had him executed. And I'm talking about his son-in-law, Saddam Hussein's son-in-law. Remember Hussein Kamel, whatever the hell his name was, K-A-M-A, remember him? He told the U.N. and the U.S. in 1990, by God, 5, that all of Iraq's weapons had been destroyed. Eh? Right? And it, where'd he go? He was in Jordan for a while, I guess, what, 8, 9, 10 months. And another one of Saddam's sons-in-laws also was there. And they were tricked into going back, and they were back for, what, 90 days? And they were butchered, slaughtered. So media in this country, and Britain apparently, and this criminal government and the legal government in England, everybody rejected the information from the one person, one of the few people, who knew the truth. And why did they reject Hussein Kamel's explanation? Look, there's nothing there. This is a guy that hated this pig. He hated his father-in-law. He fled. He tried to go away. And then, like a dumbass, he went back and was executed. But why didn't anyone listen to him? Well, because the story he was telling was not the story that American media and the American government wanted to hear. Not then, not now. Now, in 1998, the last time until this atrocity that has now cost the lives of 520 Americans and thousands of Iraqis, the last time we attacked Iraq in 1998, according to David Kaye, during the Clinton administration, whatever remained of these weapons programs was utterly and absolutely destroyed. 12 years of sanctions, the first Gulf War, the bombing in 1998, all of it, and the fact that Saddam Hussein was crazy, was totally insane, there were no weapons of mass destruction. There was nothing there. And the one person who came out of that nightmare of Saddam Hussein's family and said, look, the weapon systems are gone. Nobody wanted to believe him because it wasn't the story that they wanted to hear. So they said, get out of here, you sand nigger. Go on back home. Get out of here. And so he did, and he was executed. Senator Carl Levin today. Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator Carl Levin asked David Kaye about these supposed stockpiles of weapons that Bush and Cheney and Powell and Ari and Condi and all of these lying bastards claimed Saddam had amassed and was ready to unleash on America and Saddam's neighbors.
Dr. K, on the question of stockpiles, you have stated, I believe, that in your opinion, Iraq did not have large stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons in 2002. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Do you have any evidence that they had any stockpiles, large or small, in 2002?
Simply have no evidence, Senator.
Oh, no large stockpiles. Well, what about small? We simply have no evidence, Senator. Now, again, we've asked this question before. You've asked it. I've asked it. People with a brain have asked it. Why isn't George Bush and his criminal administration being impeached? Those of us who understand this know exactly what he did. Not only did he violate his oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, he took this country into war. He has cost the lives now of over 500 Americans and God knows how many thousands of Iraqis and Afghans. While the country that provided the bombers, so the story goes, and the financing, Saudi Arabia, is still doing business with the Bush crime family. That means the Bush family, the blood family of George Herbert Walker Bush and all of his filthy spawn and his psychopathic white-haired wife. They still do business with bin Laden. They still do business with the Saudi royal family. Why is the question? Isn't that a valid question? Here's David Kaye. All over the media today. Well, whatever attention media paid, we watched it on C-SPAN today. But there he was. And then you watch some of the Republicans on that committee, like this abominable, what's his name? Oh, my God, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Ball-headed guy who, forget his name, a real apologist for this criminal administration. Also, Jeff Sessions, a former judge from Alabama. Pat Roberts, senator from Kansas. Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama. Jim Inhofe, senator from Oklahoma. You talk about Nazis. You talk about Nazi pigs. These three people, if this were Germany in the early 40s, they would be working with Eichmann. They are that vile and corrupt. They would be working with Eichmann. But there they were. Senators, United States senators, trying to give this guy a pass so that the Bush administration would have a pass.
Words in my mouth, all the sideways looks never mattered until now. It's a long ride, it's a downside, it's what it's all about. And I think that you better sit this out in the big light. It solves everything. Hanging upon your lips again.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour. If you're on hold, stay with us. I want to get some more of these sound bites in, and then we'll come to your calls. Carl Levin again at the Senate Armed Services Committee hearings today with David Kaye as the witness. Carl Levin now asks David Kaye about Dick Cheney's comment just last week that there was, in fact, conclusive evidence of Saddam Hussein's weapons programs, despite the fact that the entire world now is saying, no, there's no evidence. Here's Carl Levin.
Now, on January 22nd, just a week ago, Vice President Cheney said that we know, for example, that prior to our going in, he had spent time and effort acquiring mobile biological weapons labs, and we're quite confident he did, in fact, have such a program. Do you know what intelligence Vice President Cheney is relying on when he tells the public a week ago, not before the war, everyone would, they were all wrong before the war, But now, a week ago, still saying that those vans are conclusive evidence that there was a biological weapons program. My question, do you know what intelligence Vice President Cheney was relying on 1 week ago when he made that statement to the American people?
Well, Senator Levin, if you want the short answer, and the obvious answer, as you probably know, is am I aware of what the Vice President was reading a week ago? I'm not.
Well, let me try to help you, David. He wasn't reading anything. What Cheney was doing, and I think you know this, David. I think Carl Levin knows it. I think most people who are either in Washington or in the CIA, like you, David, or in the media, like me, even though not many of us in the media talk about this, we all know what Cheney was saying last week. What Cheney was doing last week was continuing to perpetuate the lie that he and other criminal members of this administration, which would include every single one of them, the lie that they have used to butcher thousands of Iraqis for no reason, none, and 520 Americans for no reason, none. I would have liked to have been there today and had a chance to say to David Kaye, well, David, what then? Do you suppose that the parents or the husbands or the wives of the Americans, the 500-plus Americans who have been killed over there, what are they supposed to be told now? That they were fighting to defend their country? Against what, David?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. South Carolina Representative Jim Clyburn intends to endorse John Kerry, officials said Wednesday, a coup for the Democratic presidential frontrunner the day after his win in New Hampshire. The backing of the six-term Democratic congressman, the dominant black politician in his state, is critical in South Carolina, where almost half the voters in the February 3rd primary are expected to be minorities. Clyburn was courted by all of the Democratic presidential candidates. Clyburn, for his part, would neither confirm nor deny the impending endorsement. Former top U.S. weapons inspector David Kaye told members of the Senate Wednesday that the failure to turn up weapons of mass destruction in Iraq exposed weaknesses in America's intelligence-gathering apparatus. But Kaye denied suggestions by Democrats that intelligence analysts felt pressured by the administration to shape intelligence to help George W. Bush make the case for war. Kaye's appearance had strong political undertones, with the justification for war emerging as a top issue in the presidential campaign. The committee's top Democrat, Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, pointed to repeated statements by top administration officials flatly stating that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, and he pressed Kaye to acknowledge that there is no evidence Iraq even had small stockpiles as of 2002. A suicide bomber driving a van disguised as an ambulance blew up his vehicle Wednesday in front of a hotel frequented by Westerners, witnesses and police said. Iraqi police reported four people were killed, but the U.S. command said only the driver died. The blast at the Shaheen Hotel in Baghdad also injured 17 people, according to hospital officials. U.S. officials said the injured included one South African. Hotel employees said initially he had been killed. Questions continue to swirl around CNN pundit Robert Novak following an incident outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. Novak is accused of physically assaulting a man who was critical of his role in the outing of CIA agent Valerie Plame. Numerous witnesses, including IE America News co-anchor Michael Stinson, were on the scene and witnessed the incident. Brad Carr filed a complaint with police, and IE America News will feature an exclusive interview with Carr in tomorrow's newscast. More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
A man who rescued a stray cat from the cold got the favor returned on Sunday when the cat woke him as his house filled with smoke. Roland Rieu, who lives alone in northern New Hampshire, fell asleep watching television but was jolted awake when the cat jumped up and landed on his chest with all fours. Both man and cat were safely evacuated. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Halliburton keeps sinking deeper and deeper into the goo of crass political cronyism. Vice President Dick Cheney formerly was CEO of this big Pentagon contractor and continues to receive a generous Halliburton check every year. This curious connection is what raised eyebrows when Halliburton was awarded a multi-billion dollar contract last year to do chores for the Pentagon in occupied Iraq, a contract it received without the fuss of having any competing bids. Nothing amiss, cried Cheney apologists, for this is simply how the procurement process normally works. No political favoritism was involved, so go away, you bothersome critics. But then it turns out that Halliburton was overcharging us taxpayers on one of its major Iraqi chores, bringing gasoline into the war-ravaged country. It socked us with a $2.65 a gallon charge on 60 million gallons of gasoline, nearly $1.60 more than experts say would be reasonable. Nothing amiss, cried Cheney defenders again, for this is simply the realistic price of supplying gasoline in a country that's still a war zone. There's no political favoritism here, so scat, you malicious muckrakers. But the Pentagon's own Energy Support Center pointed out that it also was delivering some gasoline to Iraq for only about a dollar a gallon. The Pentagon's audit agency then asked Halliburton officials for internal documents to justify its pricing. Then, out of the blue, the Army Corps of Engineers, which negotiated and oversees Halliburton's sweetheart contract, suddenly intervened to sabotage the auditor's investigation. The Corps unilaterally issued a waiver of Halliburton's requirement to provide any cost and pricing data. The Corps says it issued the waiver at the request of Halliburton. How convenient. This is Jim Hightower saying, how many times do we have to see such crass cronyism in action before we call it what it is? It's corruption. Even Pollyanna wasn't blind.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm darling right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again to you.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. What is especially irritating to me is back in 1998 when Bill Clinton unleashed the fires of hell against the Iraqis yet again. And apparently utterly ended whatever weapons programs they had working at the time. It was at the same time that the Republican pigs in the United States House of Representatives were voting on articles of impeachment because Bill Clinton lied about his girlfriend. And I can remember at the time the Republican pigs in the United States House and the United States Senate squealing that Clinton's missile attack on Iraq was nothing more than a diversionary tactic to focus attention away from Monica Lewinsky and the impeachment thing. These Republicans are poison. They are destructive. They desperately need to be turned out of office. I don't think there's any doubt that George Bush is going to be defeated. What is more on November 2nd, but what is more important, I think, at this point, is to get Republicans in the House and the Senate out of control of the legislative branch of government. Now, I don't know if that can be done, because, again, while the American people can be reached, possibly, maybe, on these, quote, global, close quote, issues, like Bush sending people to their deaths in Iraq for no apparent reason, Bush destroying the economy, Bush destroying the environment, Bush destroying everything, it's still difficult to reach people in a congressional district and say, look, it's not just Bush, it's the pig, Republican pig that represents you in Washington, who is part and parcel of this. It is difficult also to explain to the voters in a state that it's the Republican pig who represents you in the Senate. We have first, especially now that the Republicans have figured out a way to alter voting returns in these damnable machines, computers that apparently are going to be used in all the key races. So we have a serious dilemma here. It is obvious now to anyone except the terminally brain dead, the ditto heads, the Limbaugh suckers, the Republicans, most of them here in this godforsaken southern part of the United States. I say godforsaken because we are under control of this American Nazi Party. But for most other people, it is very clear what the Bush crime family did and continues to do, sending American young men and women to die in this slaughter, continuing the butchery of Iraqis. We're about to invade Pakistan, for Christ's sake. They have a nuclear weapon, right? They have several. If there was any honor at all in the Republican Party, there would be a revolt against this. If there was any backbone or courage in the Democratic Party, there would be a revolt against this. It wouldn't have gotten this far. But sorry to say, for the most part, there are a few exceptions. For the most part, we're lacking all of that. So we sit and watch. And what can you do about it? Let me tell you something, Truth Seeker. Not very much. You can vote for Kerry or Dean or Kucinich or whomever you want to. You can work to get Republicans thrown out of office, and God bless you for doing it, and that's exactly what I'll do. But unless we get some help, remember, 56, 58, whatever the hell the sick, twisted, perverted number is, a percent of Americans still support this bastard. As long as that number stays there, people like you and me are, I don't know, we don't have too much of a chance, do we? That's not defeatist. Don't send me a bunch of emails now saying, oh, how could you be so negative? I'm not being negative. I'm not being defeatist. It's called realism. And if nothing else, it should lay out a clear objective of what we have to do. And the first thing that we have to do is not rely on the bulk of the American public. They are stupid. They are dumber than dirt. And it's willful ignorance. It is not ingrained. It's not genetic. It is not learned. It is willful. And maybe the first thing to do is try to educate our friends and neighbors, as they say. But, hell, most of us don't know who lives down the hall, do we, or across the street. All right, back to the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing today. With David Kaye sitting at the witness table, now Ted Kennedy gives some background rationale for his line of questioning, which focuses on how the Bush White House manipulated intelligence reports to justify an attack on Iraq.
Yesterday you said if anyone was abused by the intelligence, it was the President of the United States rather than the other way around. But Greg Thielman, the former director of the Office of Strategic Proliferation and Military Affairs in the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research, stated last July, some of the fault lies with the performance of the intelligence community, but most of it lies with the way senior officials misused the information they were provided. He said they surveyed the data, picked out what they liked. The whole thing was bizarre.
They surveyed the data, picked out what they liked. The whole thing was bizarre. Is that not impeachable? Is that not to have at the top of this pyramid of human filth that is the Republican Party someone like George Bush, who not only allows but demands that this garbage be filtered upward, up into his Defense Department, his State Department, his National Security Advisor. His vice president, his own addled head, not suggest, demand that this garbage be filtered up to him. Is this not impeachable? No, of course not. But oral sex with your girlfriend, if you're a president and you lie about it, that's impeachable. This is not impeachable. Kennedy here gives an example of how Bush deliberately ignored the findings of the Defense Intelligence Agency in a speech he gave in September of 2002.
In fact, on the question of Iraq's chemical weapons program, the Defense Intelligence Agency got it exactly right. An agent's report stated there is no reliable information on whether Iraq is producing and stockpiling chemical weapons or where Iraq has or will establish its chemical warfare agent production facilities. Yet the president told the United Nations in September 2002 that Iraq likely maintains stockpiles of VX, mustard, and other chemical agents.
Well, that's a lie, Senator Kennedy, but it doesn't involve sex with your girlfriend in the Oval Office. It doesn't involve oral sex. And like they say here in the South, eating ain't cheating. So it's not even sex. I remember in 97, 98, when this nonsense was erupting, you'll pardon the expression, all over the United States. And they did a survey of Southern colleges and universities. They asked the young men and young women at the universities whether or not they thought oral sex was really sexual relations. And of course, they all answered, the overwhelming majority said, well, hell no, of course it ain't. That's what you do instead. But Bill Clinton, you see, lied about it. So they impeached him. And they said that his missile attack on Iraq in 1998 was nothing more than a diversion. Now David Kaye sits here 6 years later and says, well, fact is, the missile attack wiped out what was left of Saddam's weapons programs. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Kennedy here gives an example of how Bush deliberately ignored the findings. Oh, wait a minute. No, we just did that one. All right, here, Kennedy on how Bush then ignored evidence from the State Department in a speech he gave the next month, in October of 2002. First he ignores the Defense Intelligence Agency, then he ignores the State Department. You see a pattern yet? Here you are.
The next month, the State Department said that the evidence was inadequate to support a judgment that a nuclear power had been restarted. It said it was impossible to project a timeline for the completion of activities it does not now see happening. Yet in October 7th speech, 2002 in Ohio, President Bush said if the Iraqi regime is able to produce or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium, a larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
Which is insane, because in order to take the highly enriched uranium, the size of a single softball, and turn it into a nuclear weapon requires a vast nuclear infrastructure, which Saddam Hussein did not have. If he would have had it, it wouldn't have taken UN inspectors on the ground, or David Kaye, or Scott Ritter, or Jesus. All it would have taken would have been a couple of satellite photographs as we made unending passes over Iraq. Just like we can tell what's going on in North Korea. Just like, for God's sake, 42 years ago, they knew what was going on in Cuba. God, we are stupid. And we have sent 520 of our men and women, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, people with children, moms, dads, cousins, grandchildren, for Christ's sake, to die in Iraq for George Bush and his filthy neo-Nazi regime. And we have perpetrated shock and awe against Iraq in order to steal their oil, in order to turn the country into a garrison state. What's the report I heard today? Now the bastards are saying, oh, well, we're not going to be gone for at least 3 years. Bill Clinton lied about oral sex with his girlfriend in the Oval Office, and we impeached him. George Bush is a murderer and a liar. He is surrounded by other liars and murderers. And what do? Well, 56% of us still think he's doing just a lovely job.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Back to the hearings today. Senate Armed Services Committee, David Kaye was at the witness table. Now Senator, finally, Senator Kennedy talks about how Colin Powell ignored the Department of Energy's findings. They ignored the Defense Intelligence Agency. They ignored the CIA. They ignored the State Department. They ignored the UN. Here, Kennedy talks about how Powell ignored the Department of Energy's findings about the famous aluminum tubes, and then Bush ignored the CIA's findings about the alleged uranium from Niger.
And then in September, the Department of Energy had serious concerns about whether the famous aluminum tubes had anything to do with the Iraqis' nuclear programs, yet Secretary Powell used the information in his speech before the United Nations. In October last year, the CIA sent two memos to the White House voicing strong doubts about the reliability of claims that Iraq was trying to obtain nuclear materials from Africa, but the president still used the statement in his State of the Union attributed to the British intelligence.
But we're not going to impeach him. The lies that were told, the deceptions that were perpetrated, the murder that has been committed, that's what you call it. It is called murder. When without provocation you attack someone or another country or another civilian population and you drop bombs on them, that is called murder. It's also called murder when you send American men and women to die because you are a lying son of a bitch who is concocting stories to get control of somebody else's natural assets, in this case, the oil fields in Iraq. That's called murder, too. Now, Kennedy questions David Kaye regarding the manipulation of intelligence that he's just carefully, Kennedy has just carefully explained and proven.
Many of us feel that the evidence so far leads only to one conclusion, that what has happened was more than a failure of intelligence, it was the result of manipulation of the intelligence to justify a decision to go to war. Now, did you have the access to those different intelligence reports as a civilian?
Yes, Senator. I had full access to everything in the intelligence community with regard to Iraq.
You had it with regard to the State Department's intelligence and the Department of Energy?
Yes.
Well, do you see, can you give us any explanation of why these agencies, in retrospect, appear to have had it right? And the information that the administration used appeared to have it wrong.
Sorry.
What weight was given to these reports when you look at in retrospect, and when you have a number of those that were involved in the reports believing that the information reports were used selectively to justify a policy decision to take the country to war?
Senator Kennedy, it's impossible in the short time I have to reply to take you through fully that. And in fact, that's my hope that Senator Roberts and his committee will have done that.
Uh-huh. It's impossible in the short time I have to reply. Well, you little bastard, why not take all afternoon? Why not take a week? Why not take a month? Why not just sit there? No toilet breaks, no ass scratching, no lunch. Just sit there and answer the question. Can you give us any explanation of why these agencies, Department of Energy, State Department Intelligence, Defense Intelligence Agency, CIA, why these agencies appear to have had it right and the information that the administration used appeared to have it wrong? Can you give us an answer there, Mr. K?
Well, Senator Kennedy, it's impossible in the short time I have to reply to take you through fully that.
Gee, I'm sorry, Senator. That's way above my pay grade.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The Arctic might be going back in time, more than 100,000 years back. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. To see what lies ahead for the Arctic environment, one need only look back. Way back, according to Jonathan Overpeck. He directs the Institute for the Study of Planet Earth at the University of Arizona.
The only time it was really warmer than present, and we have a lot of information to tell us about that world, was about 130,000 years ago.
Overpeck says global climate change is warming the Arctic at a rate that will turn back the clock the rest of the way sometime during this century.
What's interesting about that time, 130,000 years ago, is that the Greenland ice sheet was much smaller than it is today. And all that water that's now frozen on Greenland ended up in the ocean. And what does that mean? A rise of sea level somewhere between 3 and 6 meters.
Overpeck says the Arctic might be going into a different state. He says summers in the Arctic could be without sea ice, permafrost, or glaciers. And he's calling for action to curb emissions of carbon dioxide and other gases that are thought to be warming the planet.
The signs are that unless something is done, the Arctic will indeed move towards another state, one where it'll be significantly less frozen in summer. And the impacts of this would not be felt just in the Arctic, where obviously impacts would be huge on Arctic cultures and people and ecosystems, but there would also be effects globally.
Overpeck says rising sea levels will affect everyone, and he says the melting permafrost will release even more carbon into the atmosphere. But he says we can't yet predict other global impacts of the melting Arctic ice. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, the last one here. Senate Armed Services Committee today. Last Q&A between Senator Ted Kennedy and former CIA Weapons Inspector, Chief Weapons Inspector David Kaye. It now focuses on the faulty language the Bush thugs used to describe Iraq as a, in their words, serious gathering threat. Here's Senator Kennedy.
That's just to come back, because we have limited time, gathering serious threat. Do you really think that that is, those are the words that brought us to war? Those were the words that justified us going into war, gathering serious threat.
Senator, that's probably far more in your realm than in my realm. I'll take Senator McCain's defense of I being a knave in the world of politics.
I appreciate your response, and I appreciate your appearance here. And I think that there's, when we look at who has the responsibility, I think it's fair enough to look not only what the intelligence, but all the intelligence agencies, and as Senator Levin, how that intelligence was used. I think that is going to be the key to find out just what representations were made and the reasons of why they were made, because I think on the basis of the information we have now, I think it's difficult to draw a conclusion that it wasn't used selectively and in many instances manipulated to carry on a policy decision.
Well, that's true, Senator Kennedy, but it's going to be difficult for you and your ilk to prove that. After all, you're just a Massachusetts liberal. And I have one word for you, Senator, Chappaquiddick. Huh? How's that? That usually stops you cold, doesn't it, Senator? That usually makes the knuckle-dragging right-wingers in this country go, yeah, well, that's right. And that's how it went today. If you watch that, we tried to get just a few of the highlights for you. We try not to play questioning from Republicans because they are vicious bastards who are doing everything they can to support the cover-up that Bush and Cheney and Rice and Powell and the rest of these monsters perpetrated against this country, mass murder, mass death, the killing of American soldiers, the killing of Iraqi civilians. I don't know. it just gets me. It really does. Dan emailed in, how come every night on the news they don't tell the death toll in Iraq? They did during the Vietnam War. I think that would wake a lot of people up. Well, Dan, that was back in the 60s when we still had, if not an independent media, we still had reporters and anchors and producers who thought they were independent. And we did not have somebody in the Johnson or the Nixon White House telling reporters what they could or could not put on the news. We now have that. We have Karl Rove and Andrew Card and Dick Cheney, and they say to their buddies in the broadcast business what can and cannot go on television. So that's the reason for that. You will never see body reports or death reports on a regular basis on any of the networks or the cable channels, Dan. Now, one last thing here, and then we're going to come to your calls. The Independent Commission investigating the mass murder in this country on September 11, 2001, they announced yesterday that they were seeking an extension of the deadline, which is set for May 27th, to complete the investigation. They want until at least July. They want an extra month. Now, the White House, the Bush murderers, the Bush traitors, and the Republican congressional leaders have said no. No, they are not going to extend this congressionally mandated deadline, May 27th. A spokesman for Dennis Hastert, who tells the world that he's a Speaker of the House when he is not. He is nothing more than Tom DeLay's hand puppet. But Hastert said he would oppose any legislation to grant an extension. What's going on here? Huh? See, do you have any doubt? Oh, I know you don't. I know this audience doesn't. Jesus, sometimes I get so frustrated because I know who I'm talking to here. There's not a right-winger in the country who would tune into this program for longer than 10 minutes because what they hear on this program is so blindingly corrosive to their little rat brains that they would just flee shrieking into the night. So when I say, it's purely rhetorical, when I say, you know, now why would Dennis Hastert say he will oppose any legislation to extend the deadline to find out what happened in this country? You and I know the answer. It's because George Bush and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and the rest of these monsters engineered a mass murder here. They engineered mass murder during this current Bush regime in Iraq and Afghanistan and here. And the American public is not to know about that. And this is the part that's interesting to me. Why not let the American public know? The American public doesn't give a damn. The American public doesn't care. Dennis Hastert and Dick Cheney and the rest of these people think that this would cause a defeat of the Republican Party or the Bush administration, this one thing. And no, it would not. The American people wouldn't even hear it. If this commission went on, when is the last time you heard anything about this commission unless you read something in the New York Times or happened to tune into this program at night or maybe saw something, a little blurb, I don't know, in the Washington Post or something. When's the last time you saw any information about the 911 Commission, say, for example, on the evening news, which is where 80% of Americans get 80% of their news? Well, if you're like me, probably you can't remember when you saw anything about the 911 Commission. So Hastert and Bush and Cheney and the rest of these mass murderers can simply shut this commission down, and nobody will ever know. The media are not going to report on it. Why should they report on it? They're not going. They have become total whores. They're not going to do anything Karl Rove tells them not to do, with a couple of exceptions. But for the most part, they will be shut down. Now, here's the catch: 22, 23, 24, 25. The commission, which is headed by a Republican, former Republican governor of New Jersey, Thomas Keene. Is it Thomas? Yeah, I think it's Tom. Yeah. Governor of New Jersey. Commission people, officials said there was no way to finish their work on time because of the delays by the Bush administration in turning over documents, in refusing to allow people to testify. Do you understand this? The Bush administration says you have till May 27th. Okay, here's what we need. No, you're not going to get it. Well, but if we don't get it, we need an extension. You're not going to get the information. You're not going to get the witnesses. You're not going to get the documents. And you're not going to get an extension. Yeah, but then the investigation crashes and burns. That's right. Ass. That's right. That's what we want it to do, you jerkwad. Thomas Kean, a Republican, former governor of New Jersey, said, quote, "We are telling the Congress and the president what we need to do in order to do the best possible job." Well, Mr. Kean and the rest of you fools that are sitting on this 911 commission, I mean, do you have to get the word from an internet talk show host? You're not going to get your extension. Your job is not to find the truth. Your job is to sit there and give the illusion that you're trying to find something, and then you're to file a report that is dishonest and a lie. And there's a difference between something that's dishonest and something that's a lie. But you're to do both. And the American people couldn't care less. And GRT sends this in. Agree with you wholeheartedly, Mike, when I said about the willful ignorance. Joe NASCAR and Jane Walmart are willfully ignorant. How do you explain a Bush-Cheney sign in front of a double-wide trailer? I live in North Carolina, and thousands upon thousands of folks here have lost their jobs in the manufacturing and textile industries. People have no jobs. They have no decent public schools, no medical insurance, no prospect for a decent job. And who will the state of North Carolina support and give their electoral votes to? Bush. Damned idiots. It's like an inside joke when the whores at Fox News talk about the inherent intelligence of the American people. They know their audience is dumb as dirt. And as far as an intelligence failure, it is an absolute insult and a huge joke for David Kay to suggest that Bush was simply a victim of a failure of our intelligence agencies. Bush had several sources of intelligence that told him that Iraq, nuclear and biological weapons, if they even did exist, posed no threat. And in fact, he had people telling him these programs didn't even exist. But he chose to heed who? The Pentagon's Office of Special Plans. Remember that little group? Huh? Which uniquely claimed the threat. That office is run by Wolfowitz, an American Zionist, who reports directly to Rumsfeld, who reports directly to Bush. The chain of command here is linear. It's clear. Bush knew. Bush knew everything. This was not a failure of the intelligence community. This was a failure of leadership. And what are we going to do about it? Why has there been such a muted response or a non-response by the public and the politicians and the media on this entire scenario? Because we don't care. Oh, you care, and I care. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. And one last thing. And Shelby LePray sent this in from RadioPowerBot.org. And by the way, she's still looking for some money to pay the January bandwidth bill. So, if you've been listening to this program at RadioPower.org, you might want to visit that site and make a contribution. Eh? Shelby sent in the article, we have all heard it now, the flight attendant, Betty Ong, on flight American Airlines Flight 11. A 23-minute long phone call. Think about this and weep. Think about this. I want you to think about this when you go to sleep tonight. This flight attendant was on the phone for 23 minutes saying things like, "There's somebody stabbed in business class. We can't breathe up there. It's mace or something." She goes on to talk about the slaughter that's occurring on her flight. They are stabbing people. Our purser is stabbed. Nobody knows who stabbed who. We can't even get up to business class right now because nobody can breathe. Our number one flight attendant has now been stabbed. Our number five, our first class passenger, our galley flight attendant, and our purser have been stabbed. We can't get into the cockpit. The door won't open. 23 minutes this went on. This call went into the flight center at 8:20 a.m. They didn't lose Betty until the Boeing 767 rammed into the World Trade Center's North Tower at 8:46 a.m. 26 minutes, for Christ's sake, 26 minutes. Did the United States of America, did the Bush administration scramble one single interceptor to stop this for half an hour? They knew that one, two, three, four planes were being hijacked. Did anybody do anything? No. And do you doubt that this attack was allowed to happen? Do you have any doubt in your mind that Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Card and Rove and Wolfowitz and every single one of these people are complicit in mass murder? For Christ's sake, here it is. 23-minute-long phone conversation. They're stabbing us. They're killing us. They're hijacking us. We can't get into the cabin. And what happened? What jets were sent up to intercept this? What sort of an alert did NORAD put out? What did George Bush do? What did Dick Cheney do? What did every one of these people do? Nothing. They let it happen. Do you need any more proof? Robert is calling from New Orleans. Hey, Robert, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Well, until Bush gets out, I'm not really doing all that well.
Yeah, I know the feeling, pal.
Well, there's a couple of things that I want to say, particularly about this David Kay thing, and I just love this storyline that they put out. Okay, they finally raise their hands and admit it. There's no weapons of mass destruction, and Saddam Hussein did not have any weapons of mass destruction when we invaded Iraq.
Right.
They finally admit that. But they have to cover their own you-know-what, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do they say? Well, it's not really that Bush was lying his butt off to you, but it was an intelligence failure. Mike, is it just me, or is an intelligence failure when it happens when intelligence operatives miss evidence of something?
That if you,
not
yeah, if you
see
use
something that's not there.
Right.
Mike, when you see something that's not there, it's not an intelligence failure. It is a psychotic hallucination, and you need your risperidol.
That's very true. That's very true. Thanks, Robert. Break here. Appreciate your call, sir.
And pay attention.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise 2-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio 2-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass. Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Take personal responsibility for everything I say, of course. Absolutely.
Then resign. Resign, you lying bastard. Resign. Yeah, that'll happen. Right. Alvin is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Mike, I got bad news for you. I think your program's been infiltrated.
By what?
I believe Laura Pickles Bush is answering your phones now.
You think so?
Sounds exactly like her.
I'll check it out, man.
You better check it out.
I'll do it.
I'm sitting here. I'm just shocked. You played that. You were reading the excerpts from that tape about what had happened on that flight.
Uh-huh.
Where did you get that from?
Associated Press, it was on the nightly news on, I think, all the channels yesterday or the day before.
Really? On regular TV?
Yeah, this tape was released as part of the 911 investigation. This is about the only thing that I have seen that has been reported on the nightly news. The mother and father of this flight attendant was there and got to listen. This is the only audio tape, I believe, that has been made available to the American public regarding what happened on September 11th. And the phone call, very calm, from, they called her B, Miss Ong, the flight attendant. She was in her 40s, very calm, while she is minutes away from a fiery death slamming up against the World Trade Center. She was on the phone for 23, 24 minutes. And nobody responded from the Bush crime family. No military response. Nothing. They just let her and everybody else die.
And there hadn't been any type of outrage in the, among the public. There's been no response to this, huh?
Outrage about what? We were attacked by those filthy Iraqis. Or no, let's see. We were attacked by Saddam Hussein. No, wait a minute. We were attacked by, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but the mere fact of this tape, took 26 minutes for this lady to make this call. It didn't do it for 26 minutes.
Right.
And during that time, we didn't scramble any.
Nothing. George Bush was reading a book about, what was it about, Kathy? About frogs or caterpillars or something to a bunch of school children in Florida. Dick Cheney was scrambling into a hole. And the rest of the people in our government who perpetrated this crime were working up their excuses.
Did you hear today that Tony Blair was exonerated?
He was exonerated in having anything to do with the suicide of the weapons expert there, or the British intelligence expert, but I don't think he's been totally exonerated.
Yes, he was. I listened to NPR today. He was exonerated.
Hey, Alvin, hold on. I'll come back to you, because we don't have that much time to talk here. And the rest of your phone calls, let's do this break. We'll come back right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah,
you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. South Carolina Representative Jim Clyburn intends to endorse John Kerry, officials said Wednesday, a coup for the Democratic presidential frontrunner the day after his win in New Hampshire. The backing of the six-term Democratic congressman, the dominant black politician in his state, is critical in South Carolina, where almost half the voters in the February 3rd primary are expected to be minorities. Clyburn was courted by all of the Democratic presidential candidates. Clyburn, for his part, would neither confirm nor deny the impending endorsement. Questions continue to swirl around CNN pundit Robert Novak following an incident outside a New Hampshire restaurant on Tuesday. Novak is accused of physically assaulting a man who was critical of his role in the outing of CIA agent Valerie Plame. Numerous witnesses, including IE America News co-anchor Michael Stinson, were on the scene and witnessed the incident. Brad Carr filed a complaint with police, and IE America News will feature an exclusive interview with Carr in tomorrow's newscast. A suicide bomber driving a van disguised as an ambulance blew up his vehicle Wednesday in front of a hotel frequented by Westerners, witnesses and police said. Iraqi police reported four people were killed, but the U.S. command said only the driver died. The blast at the Shaheen Hotel in Baghdad also injured 17 people, according to hospital officials. U.S. officials said the injured included one South African. Hotel employees said initially he had been killed. Former top U.S. weapons inspector David Kaye told members of the Senate Wednesday that the failure to turn up weapons of mass destruction in Iraq exposed weaknesses in America's intelligence-gathering apparatus. But Kaye denied suggestions by Democrats that intelligence analysts felt pressured by the administration to shape intelligence to help George W. Bush make the case for war. Kaye's appearance had strong political undertones, with the justification for war emerging as a top issue in the presidential campaign. The committee's top Democrat, Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, pointed to repeated statements by top administration officials flatly stating that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, and he pressed Kaye to acknowledge that there is no evidence Iraq even had small stockpiles as of 2002. More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Irish hospital staff are hunting for a fingertip that disappeared hours before it was due to be sewn on to a man's finger, newspapers reported Wednesday. The man lost the top of his right middle finger when it became trapped in a door. He was rushed to his local hospital, who transferred him to a bigger hospital in Galway, Western Ireland. Surgeons did their best to mend the finger without the missing tip. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Halliburton keeps sinking deeper and deeper into the goo of crass political cronyism. Vice President Dick Cheney formerly was CEO of this big Pentagon contractor and continues to receive a generous Halliburton check every year. This curious connection is what raised eyebrows when Halliburton was awarded a multi-billion dollar contract last year to do chores for the Pentagon in occupied Iraq, a contract it received without the fuss of having any competing bids. Nothing amiss, cried Cheney apologists, for this is simply how the procurement process normally works. No political favoritism was involved, so go away, you bothersome critics. But then it turns out that Halliburton was overcharging us taxpayers on one of its major Iraqi chores, bringing gasoline into the war-ravaged country. It socked us with a $2.65 a gallon charge on 60 million gallons of gasoline, nearly $1.60 more than experts say would be reasonable. Nothing amiss, cried Cheney defenders again, for this is simply the realistic price of supplying gasoline in a country that's still a war zone. There's no political favoritism here, so scat, you malicious muckrakers. But the Pentagon's own Energy Support Center pointed out that it also was delivering some gasoline to Iraq for only about $1 a gallon. The Pentagon's audit agency then asked Halliburton officials for internal documents to justify its pricing. Then, out of the blue, the Army Corps of Engineers, which negotiated and oversees Halliburton's sweetheart contract, suddenly intervened to sabotage the auditor's investigation. The Corps unilaterally issued a waiver of Halliburton's requirement to provide any cost and pricing data. The Corps says it issued the waiver at the request of Halliburton. How convenient. This is Jim Hightower saying, how many times do we have to see such crass cronyism in action before we call it what it is? It's corruption. Even Pollyanna wasn't blind.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on
them. No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
When I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour, we're talking with Alvin in Augusta, Georgia. Alvin, during the break there, I subscribed to Greg Palast's email newsletter, and he has a piece out about what we were talking about, the whitewash of the Blair government. And you're right. It looks like Tony Blair, now the BBC is reporting that Tony Blair is demanding an apology. So I think what will happen here, the Bush crime family will take a look at how Blair managed to...
You're heading me off, Mike.
Say what?
You're heading me off.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Not only has he demanded an apology, he even got the apology today.
Did he?
And members of the BBC, the editor, resigned.
I think the head of the BBC, wasn't it the head of the BBC resigned today?
Yeah, that's what I thought I was talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess what it is, the head of the BBC and several other people under him have resigned.
Yeah.
And they have issued, whoever's the remaining board president, issued an apology to Tony Blair.
Mm-hmm.
And he was speaking to the parliament, and the parliament got up and saluted him.
Yeah.
And so, as you were about to say, what Bush and his regime will notice what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I heard glimpses of that today when I heard David Kelly speaking today. I mean, David Kelly speaking today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he said that part of his speech today was he felt that the intelligence administration owed Mr. Bush an apology.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that, too.
I've gone to hell.
Yeah. No, we're in hell. You've gone nowhere. Hell came here, Alvin.
Did you hear this may be old news. I've been out of town for the last few days. But on your news tonight, I heard them talking about a Robert Novak issue. Novak apparently attacked someone who was criticizing his leaking the name of Valerie Plame.
Yeah, he took a punch or shoved somebody in New Hampshire at the restaurant. Our news guy, Donald, our Long Island bureau chief and one of the anchors from...
Michael Stinson,
yeah,
your newscaster.
Yeah, the other one, Donald, his partner, told us that story the other night. Donald called in from New Hampshire the night of the primary, and he was telling us about, somebody said something to this old man. This old traitor, this old treasonous little bastard who...
Exactly.
I mean, he's an absolute... Another one, just another pig. And somebody said something, and I honestly think Novak, like a lot of older people that have maybe some high blood pressure issues or some blood sugar issues, you know, this guy, I think he's starting to lose it. And so he pushed or shoved or took a swing at somebody, and then stopped himself. The other person didn't fight back because if they would have taken a punch at Bob Novak and connected, they probably would have broken him in two.
Have I told you how much I hate these people? They should have kicked that old bastard's ass.
Ow!
He should be tasting shoe polish.
Ow!
At that restaurant. That's what he should be.
Yeah.
But what's happened, these people have become invigorated. What's happened,
yeah,
they have realized that they can do no wrong.
Yeah.
If Reagan was the Teflon, it was the Teflon president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Bush is coated with, but this man, and I say this to myself all the time, but I keep forgetting it. After you steal the presidency, and it's very obvious to everybody, this man
right.
didn't win the election.
Right.
But we, we treat him, we say things like, Mr. President,
mm-hmm.
and he gets the flower Air Force One, he lives in the White House, mm-hmm. and he gets press conferences, and he has a State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm.
And so he thinks he's president.
Yeah, it's a big hallucination, isn't it?
One other thing, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, now, David Kaye was Bush hand-picked man.
Sure.
Because the first man was Hans Blix.
Right.
But we couldn't trust Hans Blix because he's U.N.
Yeah, he's one of them U.N. people.
Yeah, we can't trust him.
Right, right.
What do they know?
Can't trust Scott Ritter either. He's just an American.
Yeah, he's just a
captain in the Marine Corps. Can't trust him. Can't trust him. So, right.
Wimp.
But David Kaye, yeah, we'll trust David Kaye. Uh-oh, look what David Kaye said. Uh-oh.
He's Bush's hand-picked man. He's American. He goes over there. And I noticed how his story's changed some, too.
Yeah.
You know, he first resigned. He resigned. He said he didn't find any evidence of stockpiles of weapons and doubted they ever were.
Right, right.
And now it's kind of softened now. He's,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's saying that. Well, he's saying that Bush deserves an apology because he got faulty intelligence.
Well, David Kaye got the phone call from Dick Cheney or one of his killers, and the phone call is, look, bastard, you get out there and modify what you're saying, or don't ever feel secure in opening your mail.
I think that happened.
You know?
One other thing, Mike, I don't think American people, I'm going to be sad and hurt and feel the way I do. I feel awful. And I feel that way all the time. And I may have to tune out of this because it's making my blood pressure go up.
I hear that.
But what's happened to the American people, I think, in order for these people who elected Bush to feel secure,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to kind of do like blacks, like we've done, a lot of us have done over the years, the ones like the Clarence Thomases and the Colin Powells and the Condoleezza Rice and the Thomas Sowell and the Walter Williams and all those folks.
Uh-oh.
They have to convince themselves that things aren't that bad.
Yeah.
That all everybody has to do. It's just all those other black people that they're just not assimilating. They're just not catching on, and things aren't bad, you know, and they just need to think the way. So what I'm saying, these people, they're not going to turn them out of office because if they do that, then they have to.
They have to acknowledge that they've been fools. Right.
Exactly.
I hear you.
They're not going to do that.
Thanks, Alvin.
All right, thanks.
All right, appreciate your call. Appreciate your call. There is a bright side. Record numbers of people have turned out in the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. Record numbers. They haven't seen this many people turn out in forever. And so what does that mean? Does that mean I'm looking for anything? Just show me anything. Oh, God, give me anything to hang my hat on. No. I think what it clearly demonstrates is the people of this country that normally just wouldn't care about voting. Oh, I don't care. You know, Democrats and Republicans are just alike. Doesn't matter. The people are realizing that that may be true around the margins, but at the core, there's no bigger killer neo-fascist in American politics than George Bush, unless it would be the people he has surrounded himself with. And I think the American public, to some degree, a big chunk of the American public, I shouldn't say the American public, because the American public is dumber than dog droppings, but a big chunk of the American public, especially Democrats, especially progressives and liberals, core, you know, Democrats outnumber Republicans, we always have. Liberals outnumber conservatives, we always have. Progressives outnumber these flying monkeys, we always have. But We gave up. We just said, oh, to hell with this. You know, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being called this name and that name. But I think Americans of the progressive stripe, the Democratic Party, the liberals, I think they have realized that we're right on the verge of losing not just our country, but our system of government. And the fact that so many people are turning out for these primaries, I think is indicative of something positive. I do. Now, that was Alvin from Augusta, Georgia. I got this email from Donald in Augusta. Mike, I'm sorry this is so long, but I'm so pissed off it took a few paragraphs for me to get my point and anger across to your listeners. Even though it's long, I hope you read it, or at least some of it. Why are Democrats surprised at what is going on with David Kaye's disclosure? Any idiot with half a brain, and that rules out 99% of Republicans, can tell you what is going on here. People look at me when I speak of the ignorance of the American public, but it's true. Just look at this list of items and disclosures and weep. For example, the media shot down Paul O'Neill as an angry ex-employee. O'Neill exposing Bush's desire to go to war with Iraq when Bush said, find me a way to get it done in January 2001. 911 happens, and the Bush machine will not release any information concerning 911 and keep stonewalling the 911 commission. Republicans are refusing to extend the deadline for the commission to finish its work. The CIA is ruled by the media and Republicans as incompetent. Frontline in 60 Minutes ran a special on the CIA's anger with the Bush administration's misuse of the intelligence and blaming them. Wolfowitz states in open public via a newspaper article that the weapons of mass destruction argument was just a political excuse for the war. Colin Powell gives a speech in Cairo, Egypt in February 2001 that states the sanctions had worked and Saddam was no longer a threat, not to his own people or his neighbors. David Kaye says there have not been weapons in Iraq since the first Gulf War. He states he seriously doubts there are any there before and after this war. Where have the Democrats been all this time? Sleeping. They are still thinking politics is a gentleman's game. The Republicans are not in office to legislate for the American people. They are in office to rape, pillage, and plunder the American taxpayer and then run away with the spoils. Look at Billy Tausen. Murdoch and the boys will not touch Bush. The Republicans will not touch Bush. The right-wing courts will not touch Bush. The 911 Commission is being stonewalled by the Bush machine, and the Democratic candidates are too scared to dare utter the facts we all know, with the exception of Kucinich, Sharpton, and Dean. And look what the media have done to these three candidates. The Republicans are Beelzebub's children, and if anyone thinks, after Clinton, that they will be fair and objective in this matter, well, let's just say I have some swampland in Florida I want to sell you. Hitler did not work as fast as Rove and the gang at taking control of an idiotic public. And let's face it, Americans are stupid. Bush is the Houdini of modern-day America. No matter what he gets caught in, the media and the stupid American public let him off the hook. If you can tell me what hold this idiot has over the American people, I'd like to know. I'm so frustrated, I'm talking openly in restaurants in Georgia about this idiot, hoping to pick a fight with one of the idiot Republicans so I can just embarrass the hell out of them. But I haven't gotten a bite from anyone yet. This just says to me, hey, they know we are telling the truth and can no longer defend this moron. Again, I say we're living in the Twilight Zone. This is the damnedest thing I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I'm 40 years old. As I stated, Hitler would have loved to have had Rove and the gang working for him. And again, to steal a line from you, I hate these people. Donald and Augusta. Well, yeah, I know what you mean, pal. All right, we have a break coming up here in just a few seconds, and back to your phone calls. I get the feeling I'm talking too much tonight. Well, no, I'm not really. I'm just giving you folks a little bit longer than I normally do and reading these emails. Alvin is calling from New Jersey. Hey, Alvin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Mike. I love your show. And I have two things. WMDs, the acronym for Weapons of Mass Destruction, I think should be renamed as White House of Mass Deception.
There you go. That's good. I like that.
Actually, I have kind of planned. I'm going to start photocopying that, the WMD and White House of Mass Destruction, and start pasting it all over New York. So that way it'll seep into the subconscious minds of everyone. And
Be careful you don't get shot. Yeah. Hey, listen, let me put you on hold. We've got a break coming here, Alvin. I'll come right back to you. And the rest of your phone calls, and that's for real. I've got nothing else to say. We're going to come back and take your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The second pillar of peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations to retain aggression and evil by force.
I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans, baby, against and the Republicans. I hate that old Republican Party.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. He's called. Bob, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with Alvin, who has called in from New Jersey. Now, you're going to put these bumper stickers around. What, White House of Mass Deception?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, that's good. I'd like that.
Yeah, I was just, I thought of it today, and I was just going nuts. I needed to, like, get it out there. And also, my girlfriend actually made an interesting connection between Bush wanting to bring the immigrants, you know, these temporary visas,
mm-hmm.
and working, and Walmart, because, you know, Walmart's been in the news about the whole illegal immigrants cleaning their
right.
stores. So that was, I thought that was an interesting, how she put those two together. So
did you see the story about where Walmart locks their employees in at night? They can't leave.
Actually, I did.
Yeah.
I actually go to WalmartWatch.com. And,
did you know that 3 of the 10 richest people on the planet are in the Walmart family? Think about that for a second. Or is it 4 now? I think it's 4.
I think it is 4.
Unbelievable.
It is disgusting. I mean, the fact that they're raping, and I mean, like, it's basically rape. I mean, what they're doing with the poor people. And, I mean, they can totally afford to, provide all their employees with a good, you know, good wage and also health benefits.
Sure.
And still make enough money.
But why? Why do that? You know, the thing about capitalism and the thing about these incredibly wealthy families, the only motivating factor that I can think of is greed. I mean, once you have $1 billion or $10 billion or $40 billion, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to die. Your money is not going to save you from cancer or heart disease or AIDS or leprosy or a car accident. You're going to die just like everybody else. So why not do some good if you happen to be somebody who, through your exploitation of other human beings, you put together a $20, $30, $40, $50, $60 billion personal fortune? Why not do some good?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I do believe that... what's his name? Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, Bill and Melissa Gates. I think they're trying to do some good. I don't think they're putting enough money into it. I think they ought to put millions upon millions upon millions, and I know they have. They ought to put billions. But Ted Turner, I think when Turner committed $1 billion to the UN for health, I believe, for healthcare, UN healthcare projects. You know, what's up with rich people that they hold on to? I mean, once you have $1 million, what the hell do you need? Or is it $5 million now? Is it $10 million? I have no idea. Alvin, how did you hear about this program?
Actually, iTunes. Actually, with a friend of mine who listens to he found your program on the iTunes and told me about it and a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to it since.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Kathy says this is your first time calling in. Thanks for checking in. I hope you call again.
I will. Thank you so
much. All right, sir. Take care. Okay, who's next here? Josh is calling from State College, PA. Josh has been holding on for over an hour. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Mike. thanks for taking the call, and I appreciate your show. But I wanted to ask you about something you said earlier in the evening about willful ignorance.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I agree, and you were saying earlier the American public very stupid, and that it's willful, I think, is true to an extent,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's a deeper-rooted problem as far as education goes, like what our children are learning about the American political system is very limited and very biased.
I agree with that 100%. And anybody under the age of 18, I think probably cannot be held responsible for the fact that he or she is being force-fed some sort of politically incorrect religious doggerel disguised as education. But what I'm talking about, Josh, are people, certainly people over the age of 35 or 40. Those are the ones who do most of the voting. And damn sure people over the age of 20, 19 or 20, because those are people who are now have escaped from secondary education, primary and secondary education, and if they choose to remain ignorant with all the universities and two-year colleges and the Internet available, then I hold them responsible. Can you hold on a second, Josh?
Sure can.
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll come back. Got to take a break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Lock and load, hit and search. Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being Ashcroft, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, because it's major. What would you do if
didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The Arctic might be going back in time, more than 100,000 years back. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. To see what lies ahead for the Arctic environment, one need only look back. Way back, according to Jonathan Overpeck. He directs the Institute for the Study of Planet Earth at the University of Arizona.
The only time it was really warmer than present, and we have a lot of information to tell us about that world, was about 130,000 years ago.
Overpeck says global climate change is warming the Arctic at a rate that will turn back the clock the rest of the way sometime during this century.
What's interesting about that time, 130,000 years ago, is that the Greenland ice sheet was much smaller than it is today. And all that water that's now frozen on Greenland ended up in the ocean. And what does that mean? A rise of sea level somewhere between 3 and 6 meters.
Overpeck says the Arctic might be going into a different state. He says summers in the Arctic could be without sea ice, permafrost, or glaciers. And he's calling for action to curb emissions of carbon dioxide and other gases that are thought to be warming the planet.
The signs are that unless something is done, the Arctic will indeed move towards another state, one where it'll be significantly less frozen in summer. And the impacts of this would not be felt just in the Arctic, where obviously impacts would be huge on Arctic cultures and people and ecosystems, but there would also be effects globally.
Overpeck says rising sea levels will affect everyone, and he says the melting permafrost will release even more carbon into the atmosphere. But he says we can't yet predict other global impacts of the melting Arctic ice. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we're talking with Josh, who's called in from State College, PA. Josh, thanks for holding on.
No problem. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Okay, education.
Mm-hmm. I hold people responsible once they get out of secondary, whatever secondary education. And if they don't go on to any further education, there are ways of educating oneself, and I think that is the first obligation to somebody who lives in a society that's based on self-government. You understand what I mean? You've got to be informed.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, and I consider myself relatively well-informed, and I don't want to say right off the bat that whoever disagrees with me is wrong, but there are a lot of things that, and I understand the anger and the frustration that comes with people being ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
But what you see, for example, the K thing, you know, you got K on CNN saying, well, it was bad intelligence or something at the beginning, you know, before the war that is at fault. But before the war, you know, everyone, there were protests and people knew that something was up and still nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And also on that topic, you've probably plugged it before, but vote2impeach.org.
Right.
You can go and send letters to your representatives and such to impeach the Bush White House.
Mm-hmm.
But,
You know, I wonder if David Kaye listened to himself today when he said, or when all these bastards have said that the intelligence was somehow flawed. And the other day when Scott McClellan continues this farce, saying, "Well, we have somebody take David Kaye's place. We want the We want to continue to see if we can find the truth. We're trying to find out what the truth is. As soon as we complete our work, we'll know what the truth is or what the truth was. This is where I fault America. Doesn't common sense dictate that before you go to war, that's when you want to know what the truth is, before you start the killing, not after? I mean, oh my God, doesn't it make sense to have evidence before you commit a nation to war? Doesn't it make sense to have proof? Now, the problem here is Bush and his thugs told us there was proof. This is not an intelligence failure. This is a failure. In the real world, it's a failure of leadership. In Bush world, it's business as usual. They are lying, murderous killers.
No doubt. And I think to that, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But in a lot of cases, what I would consider ignorance. I mean, I'm not trying to defend the American public. There are definitely ignorant people out there. I'm ignorant on issues myself, but. In this case, it was ignorance, but it was also that we were blatantly lied to, and we bought it. Like, a lot of people just don't question it.
But like you pointed out, more people participated before the invasion and murder in Iraq. More people around the globe, 10 million, I believe, is the figure most media outlets have agreed upon. 10 million people protested this war. This is greater than the protests that have existed for any war, for Vietnam, for Afghanistan, when the Russians invaded, for Chechnya. 10 million people. So if one subscribes even in the slightest to the idea of collective wisdom, there were 10 million people saying this war is not justified. Now, I understand what you're saying, Josh, and I'm not trying to be a hard ass here. I'm not trying to come across as condescending or patronizing where it concerns my take on the ignorance of the American public. But I can't get away from it. I mean, how many times do we have to be fooled? How many times do we have to be led into war by our leaders? I was around for the Gulf of Tonkin incident. I was around when all the lies perpetrated about Central America and Southeast Asia were put out there. And time after time after time, commissions were put together that exposed the lies. Now you have Robert McNamara, the architect, the genius, quote, of our war in Southeast Asia, who served Kennedy and then served Johnson. Who is now, he's got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, and he understands he's about to step into the void. He's in his mid to late 80s, and he is trying to tell the world, first of all, that how sorry he is, that he's responsible. This guy has the blood of 3 million dead people on his hands, 58,000 Americans, and close to 3 million Southeast Asians. This guy is going to have some splaining to do if there is anybody to explain to once he steps into the void. This guy, I mentioned what's his name, the Nazi earlier tonight, the guy that was tried by the Israelis. He was picked up in South America in the 60s and. Oh, what the hell's his name? I'm drawing a blank. I hate this. I hate these senior moments. Let me warn you, Josh. When you start to get old, you'll have these senior moments where you can't remember anything. But anyway, that guy was responsible for the death of 6 million. Robert McNamara is responsible for the death of 3 million. And I don't know if the Cosmic Hoo-Ha makes a distinction there between 3 million and 6 million. But Robert McNamara now is saying. How horribly wrong they were to get involved in Southeast Asia, and how horribly wrong we are to have gotten involved and to stay involved in the Middle East. You understand the point I'm trying to make?
Yeah, right? I do. I'll wrap this up so you can take some more calls. I just finished reading Howard Zinn's People's History of America.
It's a good, great book. Great book.
Great book. And just there's a short passage I thought was especially pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure a passage, but just a few lines from his 16th chapter. He's talking about World War II, and he says, "The war not only put the United States in a position to dominate much of the world, it created conditions for effective control at home. And in the next paragraph, he says, it was an old learned lesson by governments that war solves problems of control. Charles E. Wilson, the president of General Electric Corporation, was so happy about the wartime situation that he suggested a continuing alliance between business and the military for a permanent war economy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, Zinn says, this is what happened when right after the war, the American public, war-weary, seemed to favor demobilization and disarmament. The Truman administration worked to create an atmosphere of crisis and Cold War. The Truman administration presented the Soviet Union as not just a rival, but an immediate threat. In a series of moves abroad and at home, it established a climate of fear, a hysteria about communism,
mm-hmm.
which would steeply escalate the military budget and stimulate the economy with war-related orders.
And then Eisenhower came out and warned against this, but by then the damage had been done. Josh, let me move on.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. We're starting to run out of time here. No offense, Josh. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Well, hello, Michael.
Hey.
How you doing?
Who's the Nazi I'm thinking of that was...
Pinochet.
No. The Nazi who fled to Argentina, I believe, and he was picked up. The Nazi hunters got him. The Israelis got him.
Eichmann?
Eichmann, thank you. Adolf Eichmann. Thank you very much.
You're entirely. Yeah. Anytime. I mean, you know, we seniors got to stick together.
You got that right.
You're not holding any. You're not eating or drinking anything, are you?
I'm drinking a Diet Coke.
Put it down.
Okay.
You don't have any sharp objects handy?
I've got a pen in my hand.
Well,
I'll put it down.
Thank you.
Okay.
Short article in today's Tribune. Cheney, Pope talk peace in short Vatican meeting. Doesn't that really warm the cockles of your heart?
Cheney, in the first place, no disrespect intended to the pontiff, but he could no more have a conversation with Dick Cheney than I could have with a Martian. The Pope is essentially gone. I'm sure there's some consciousness left there, but to sit down next to a demon like Dick Cheney, I'm sure the Pope's Christianity immediately enveloped him and protected him from being that close to one of Satan's minions on Earth.
One would only hope.
Oh my God!
But then, that 15-minute meeting at the Vatican was quiet and sober. When Cheney spoke later in Vicenza, excuse my Italian. To airborne troops of the Army Southern European Task Force. Now, make sure you're not touching anything sharp. He strode on stage to the theme of the movie Rocky.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
Doesn't that make you want to gag?
It makes me want to smash something.
Well, like I said, I didn't want you holding anything sharp.
Well, I'm glad you told me to put the Coke can down. Yeah, that's obscene. It's grotesque. It's vile. It's hideous. But it's Dick Cheney.
You know, it's the inmates are running the asylum. What can I tell you? Now, to back up a few minutes, I hate to rain on your parade.
Okay.
But, you know, I was hearing the same thing about this great outpouring of people. Now, I don't have the numbers for Iowa, because I didn't know that they had any numbers to go by.
Mm-hmm.
But because they were saying that they expected a big turnout, I thought, okay, I'm going to find out.
Right.
Not percentages, but actual body count.
Right.
In 2000, there was 146,600 some that voted Democratic. There was 234,801 that voted Republican, for a grand total of 381,475.
Now, that was
That was 2000.
Where?
In New Hampshire.
The primary or the general election?
The primary in New Hampshire.
The primary, okay.
Because they gave me numbers for Bauer. I even forgot he was running. Bauer, Bush, Forbes, Keyes, and McCain.
Right.
And McCain got 49% of that. Bush only got 31%.
Right.
Now, yesterday,
Tuesday.
Whenever,
mm-hmm.
I lose track of time, these senior moments, what can
that's
I tell
right,
you?
That's right, I know.
There was a total of 219,246.
Okay, that's about a 45%. No, that's right. I heard it was over 200,000 Democrats. That's about a 45% increase.
Yeah, there was more than 72,000 more.
Yeah.
And there was 215,000 less of the Republicans. There was only 19,000 Republicans that went to the poll. The total for 2004 was 238,490.
Okay, but I was talking about Democrats.
Oh, you're just talking about Democrats.
Oh, only Democrats. I mean, I don't give a damn if one or 10,000 people come out for George Bush. It matters not to me. The point I was trying to make is that the Democrats in the Iowa caucuses, which is what that was all about, and yes, the Republicans had a primary on Tuesday, too, but who cared? I mean, Bush is running unopposed. Yeah, he has a John Buchanan, the journalist, running against him.
Yeah, he got 254 votes.
254 votes, and Bush got 19,000 or whatever it was, 17,000. But the point was the Democrats, it seems like what the writer of this article was trying to make the point about was the Democrats seemed to be finally motivated. And they had a 45% increase in the number of people who came out in the crappy weather, the freezing weather, to register what was essentially a protest vote. They are going to find themselves a candidate. The Democrats are. It's either going to be Kerry, or it's going to be Dean, or it's going to be Edwards, or it's going to be who else is up there? Who else is left? There's damn. But it's going to
Edwards, Clark.
It's going to be somebody. The Democrats are going to find somebody, and this was that's why the numbers were significant, that these huge numbers of Democrats have finally realized George W. Bush is worse than the Antichrist. He is a demon, and he has to be peacefully and legally removed from office before that option is no longer out there for the American public. So
you don't think there was any Republicans that were crossing over in yesterday and going back and voting?
I don't doubt that there's a little chicanery played here and there, but I think in New Hampshire, where they take all this seriously, that the Republicans would be voting, a show of lemming-like support for this jackass in the White House. As far as if Republicans did cross over to vote for Kerry, they may, be putting a noose around their own necks, because as much as I like Kucinich and I think Howard Dean would be my second choice and yada, 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 Kerry probably is highly electable. And that seems to be the issue that Democrats are concerned about this go around.
That seems to be their,
right.
Their
who
main question.
Can drive this bastard out of office? Right.
There was one quote that I liked the other day. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Real quick. Real quick, Marge.
They were asking this woman in some restaurant or someplace who she was going to vote for, and
right.
She didn't know. She wanted, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. You can share.
She wanted Kerry's one's wisdom, one's charisma, one's whatever, and, she wanted to break down the package and put it all together, and she says, I don't know whose soap I'm going to buy. I love that line.
Yeah, whose soap I'm going to buy. I hear you.
But it...
Well, if we could have John Edwards' good looks and Kerry's inside the Beltway experience and Dennis Kucinich's integrity and Howard Dean's fire and Wesley Clark's military experience on a major level, Supreme Allied Commander, put all that stuff together, sure, I think that's what the woman meant, right?
Yeah, but I like the way she broke it down. She didn't know whose soap she was going to buy.
I know. That's America. Marge, thanks.
Take care.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. Jack is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Jack.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for putting me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
Really, two things I want to get through. They're kind of long, but let's do it quickly. One, you think you mentioned it earlier in the program, is a spring offensive that's being reported by the Chicago Tribune.
Right, into Pakistan.
Yes. This is, I don't know about you, but this is exactly what I've been waiting for the Bush administration to lay on us. And I'm predicting this, and I'm sure this isn't a very hard prediction to make, but I'm guessing we're going to see the likes of one Osama bin Laden with being lice checked and whatnot.
I'm not sure what's going on with the Pakistan thing. I do know that this guarantees that Pervez Musharraf, the military dictator of Pakistan, who overthrew an elected government, will be executed. Somebody, there's already been, what, 2, 3, 4 attempts on his life.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the Bush crime family putting out the signal so that the Mujahideen or the Taliban operating in Pakistan will kill Musharraf and get him out of the way. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back in a second. We got to take a quick break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
He's the man who knew what's right for me and you. He's the man who knew what's right for me and you.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose two dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude, I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to That Comic Book Show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're now entering a flying monkey free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Hey, we're almost out of time. We're talking with Jack in Washington, D.C. about the plan to invade Pakistan.
Well, from what I understand, thousands of troops are already deployed around the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, and the mission is supposed to go way deep down into the country, and I don't know. It just sounds like the perfect opportunity. The whole purpose is to break up al-Qaeda units, and there is a quote I'm trying to look for it right here by one military officer saying that Pentagon leaders are determined a couple of months ago that this is important to catch bin Laden this year, and it's much more important for the symbolism than for his military value.
Well, that may be, and I think if that's true, there's also a secondary situation here, and that is the pipeline that comes across Afghanistan. Remember, Afghanistan does not have a seaport, but Pakistan does.
Right.
That pipeline that's going to come from the Caspian Sea area to carry natural gas has got to cross Afghanistan into Pakistan and then to the tankers that will be waiting in the Indian Ocean. And Pervez Musharraf, the military dictator, who's had several assassination attempts on his life here recently, is not somebody that the Bush crime family can do business with any more than Noriega became somebody that they couldn't do business with. Saddam became somebody they couldn't do business with. The Shah of Iran became, you know, it just goes on and on. So
the Chicago Tribune article does make mention somewhat that this seems to be somewhat of a collaborative effort between the Bush administration and Musharraf, and that, however, he is keeping silent, saying that he would never allow this just because his cooperation with, you know, Americans is kind of putting him in a bad spot in the Arab world. But I can't imagine that the Bush administration right now would go ahead with an invasion.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. They are insane, and it can be justified, just like Saddam was the justification for taking over the country of Iraq. Bin Laden will be the justification for taking over Afghanistan / Pakistan. You know, we only have 10,000 troops over there that we're aware of, and that's not enough. With 10,000 troops, it'll be just like the British, just like the Russians. We'll never win anything, and our troops will remain in little enclaves, and the countryside will be controlled by the warlords.
I'm sorry, Mike, are you saying that there's only 10,000 troops in Afghanistan?
Afghanistan, correct.
According to the article that the Chicago Tribune had put out, it says that we have about 11,000 troops.
Okay, there may be an extra 1,000.